Hey, Shepherd, welcome back to Digital Worship. I'm Pastor John Carolus. It's great to be with you as we are now officially in the Easter season, kicked off by Resurrection Sunday last week. We heard about the story of the empty tomb and about Jesus rising from the dead from Mark chapter 16. And today we begin a new series for the month of April called Let's Talk Witness. The idea is that we would have a conversation around sharing our faith as Easter people, that is, people whose lives are ordered by the fact, affected by the fact that Jesus is alive, that he actually was a real person who lived on this earth, who walked with his disciples, who taught profound teachings, who performed amazing miracles, was ultimately rejected by his own people, put to death by the Romans, and buried in a tomb. But after he was buried, 3 days later, he was raised from the dead by the power of the Father. He walked out of the tomb, met with his disciples, shared some more of those moments together. There were hundreds of witnesses to him being alive, and then he ascended back to heaven, poured out the Holy Spirit on his followers that they would now be empowered to share that message of great news, that God loves you, that he has a mission to connect with you. He has a plan for your life to share that message with everyone in the world, no longer limited scope to the people of God, the Israelites that were chosen to be the people through which he would bring about a savior. But now the scope broadens to the entire world, that all would know Jesus and that God loves them through the work that he accomplished in his son Jesus on the cross, raising him from the dead. And now we share in his Holy Spirit in our hearts, that we would also connect with one another in a meaningful way as members of that family. So I want to talk specifically about what it means over the next 4 weeks to share that with other people. And sometimes that's a little bit of a scary idea, whether it be because we're not used to talking about our faith, or we don't know a whole lot about the Bible, or maybe we just know other people that are smarter and better at it than we are. We don't feel equipped or maybe called to be an evangelist out there on the streets or in the cubicles around the water cooler telling people that they need to know Jesus. But the truth is, each one of us has been called by God to share his message with others. We have not all been called to do it in the same way. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to follow along with actually one of Jesus' own disciples. When he was older, later in life, he wrote a letter to the early church encouraging them in the midst of a challenging situation. There had arisen this kind of false interpretation of Jesus and his message. There was an untrue sort of false religion going on, talking about who God was and how he operated and what his followers looked like. And John wrote a series of letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, to the early church specifically about that particular issue. And we're going to borrow from his teaching and his letters that we find in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, particularly in 1st John over the next 4 weeks, and see the implications of what he teaches, the implications of his encouragements and his admonishments as well, and see how that can be reflected in our own life and how each one of us, whether you're a pastor sitting behind a desk in a digital worship studio, or maybe you're sitting behind a desk working on a spreadsheet in your own workspace, maybe you're watching this on your computer while you're working on cooking dinner in the kitchen, whatever it is, God has called each of us to share and shine his light with those around us. So how can we do that? How might we do that given that we all come from different directions? Well, let's hear from kind of a long reading from First John, the opening verses of that letter, and then I'll share a little bit about what he's up to and how that matters to us. So this is from 1 John chapter 1 and a little bit of chapter 2. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. Okay, so what is going on in this particular reading? You heard some, maybe what feels like abstract description of who Jesus is and what God's message is and what his mission is out in the world. God is light. There's no darkness in him. We have fellowship with him. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. What is John talking about? Well, first of all, let's remember who he is writing to. The Apostle John, who is probably now a couple of decades after Jesus has gone back to heaven, writing to early young Christians, people that are new to faith, who are encountering all kinds of different distractions or diversions or attacks on their faith, and he is writing to encourage and strengthen them in the midst of those trials. And so his first goal with this particular letter is to encourage those people, to remind them that God is with them, that he is shining on them, that Jesus is the one who connects us to God. How do we know this? Well, the disciples of Jesus knew him, saw him, touched him, ate with him, spoke with him. They interacted with him like a real person because he was a real person. He is a real person. It's not just an idea. It's not just an abstract teaching. It's not just a philosophy, but it is a real person. Jesus Christ himself, that person, was who revealed God to people that were living in darkness and blindness because of their sin. He goes on to talk about how Jesus' blood covers and cleanses us from wickedness. This is important for us to remember. This is the heart of the gospel message. Each one of us is imperfect. Each one of us has our own darkness in life. And there's two ways for us to kind of prove that that's the case. On the one hand, there are evil things that happen, evil choices that we make when we hurt others, when we harm others, when we offend others, when we seek out others' disadvantage so that we can live an easier or more convenient life, when we grow impatient, when we lash out. These are the things that we actively participate in that cause us to recognize we are imperfect, we have sin. Terrible things happening when you see other people struggling in life and they make poor decisions that result in hurt and harm. That's the activity of sin and darkness in life. The other way to kind of see sin at work in our life is the fact that outside of our control and our choices, suffering happens. Sickness, tragedy, natural disaster, death itself, the fact that we all have an expiration date, that we all fall ill to particular diseases, to particular conditions, that's all evidence that we can't do this on our own. We are incapable of living perfectly forever. So there's two things for us to help grasp the idea that we are imperfect. Because some people out there would simply say, well, no, people are actually fine at their core. Everything is all good and everything is all positive and life is simply a journey of recognizing the good in you. But John's message and Jesus' message does not align with that particular way of thinking. Instead, this message is turn away from the bad that is within you. Turn away and recognize the evil that is in yourself, in your heart that you were born into this world carrying. Remember, the proof is, one, that we've all done bad things, and two, that bad things happen to us, particularly the bad thing, the worst thing of all, which is death itself. So John is giving this message of the gospel. God will rescue you from that evil, from that sin, from that darkness in your life through the blood, that is through the death of Jesus on the cross, that paid the price, that filled the deficit, that brought us into a place where now fellowship with God is not something impossible or scary for us, but instead it is joyful, it is light, it is love, because God has reconciled. He has made the difference no longer exist. He has covered our sins with the perfection of his Son, Jesus. And then we go on to hear this interesting dialogue that John has about people who claim to be perfect. He's saying, if anyone claims to be perfect, if anyone claims not to have any of that darkness or sin within them, they are deceiving, they are fooling themselves. They're in denial about the truth about who they are and what lies within them. Each one of us struggles with that reality of darkness, of sin, of imperfection, of negativity within ourselves. But, John says, and Jesus himself taught, we have an advocate with the Father. It's Jesus Christ himself. because of Jesus, we can enjoy and embrace fellowship, that is, connection, a relationship, proximity with God the Father, our Creator, the one who brought us into existence, the one who our imperfection previously threatened to keep us distant from, but now because of His action on our part, the things that He has done, He has brought us close to Him. That's the message that we want to be sharing when we talk about witnessing our faith, sharing our faith as Easter people. God has crossed the gap to be close to you. And He invites you to trust Him in that relationship, that you would know who He is. Just like the disciples speak so confidently about how they walked with Him, spoke with Him, experienced Him. That is the goal and hope of every Christian, that we all might be able to say that. I know Jesus. I've heard Him. I've walked with Him. He is working on me. And so this first week, as we talk about witness, expressing, sharing, showing our faith, instead of getting into strategies for how to engage in pointed conversations with the end result, trying to get people to figure out whether they're going to heaven or hell right away or anything like that, if you were to die tonight, the question instead, before we get there, before we have those verbally based conversations, witness actually happens as soon as someone begins interacting with us, when they look at us, when they recognize our pattern of speech, our posture, the way we carry ourselves, the things that we say, the way that we live. Witness begins with our lifestyle. And I think the Apostle John recognized that and built that into this particular letter that we are focusing on this week. Does your life reflect the light of Jesus? And I'm not asking that question for you to start pushing and pressuring yourself to interrogate and wonder and question whether you're really saved. That's not what this is about. I know that every Christian is saved because Jesus paid the price. But when we talk about sharing our faith with others, then the question becomes, before I talk about how I might speak my faith toward another person, am I living my faith in a way that they can see? And another way to consider this would be that the fruits of the Spirit. Is my life producing the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things are visible. Those things can be noticed when people watch us live, when they see us interact with our kids or with our spouse, when they see how we speak in public places, how we treat a waiter, or how we treat the person at the grocery checkout line, the expression on our face while we drive. Each of these things becomes an opportunity for witness. So my encouragement to you today, as you consider sharing your faith, is simply to run that kind of self-evaluation. Does my life reflect the fact that I know that I'm imperfect and that forgiveness comes through Jesus? Does my life reflect that I'm enjoying fellowship with God through the kindness that I display, through the peace that I express? We each can participate in sharing the faith by the way that we live. So this week, as we consider witness, as we consider sharing our faith, consider your own life and know that God can work powerfully through even the most quiet ways of witnessing.